Quick. Why do we have Sunday school? Good. It's not to go to sleep. All right, good. I was afraid of that. That's always a danger this early in the morning. But to learn, that's right. To study, to show ourselves what? Approved unto God. The word approved has the idea that something is said, it's going in this direction, but it was incapable of being accomplished. So that which was said could turn around and shake its finger and said, aha, you said this could be accomplished, but it couldn't be accomplished, and make an accusation. So God's word is for us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. In other words, when we speak, when we walk, the way we rear our children, the way that we are a husband or a wife, the way that we do our business, everything that we do ought to have God's will surrounded by it. Amen? And be in the setting of God accomplishing what God wants for us in that particular setting. So with that in mind, I'm going to ask you to join with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, just for a moment, to the book of Psalms chapter 40. Our brother already referenced, was it 45? 46. But we're going to go backwards just a little bit. I'm a little backwards anyway. So we're going to go to chapter 40. Chapter 40. And I tend to talk quickly, so I'll try to slow down a little bit. I always have trouble doing that, though. And so we'll do our best, all right? So if I'm not speaking loudly enough or I'm speaking too quickly, if you'll just kind of wave or throw a hymn book or do something, then I'll know to slow down just a little bit or a little louder. But they can take care of the loudness, I think, upstairs there. All right, here we are in Psalm 40. Let's just notice it. It's just kind of got to be a springboard. When I was in college, I was on the gymnastic team, and sometimes we would use a thing that is a springboard that if you're going to do a mount on the pommel horse or onto the parallel bars, because you needed forward movement to accomplish that particular thing, you would run, hit that thing, and it would vault you into the air so that as you arrived on the parallel bars, you were already in motion, could take advantage of that motion, go into a handstand, pirouette, or whatever it was. And so what we're going to do is use Psalm 40 kind of as that vault into something that I hope will be a help to you this morning, as the Lord's already enriched my heart with it as I studied for this morning. So, Psalm chapter 40, notice what he says. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He brought me, no, he didn't stop there, did he? Wait a minute, let me get back up. I waited patiently for the Lord, and what's the next word? He inclined unto me, and what did he do? He heard my what? Cry. All right. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a what? Okay, let's all get together on that. All right. On your mark. Get set. He set my feet on a rock. Good. And established my what? My goings. Now let's think about it. We're going to have to do some thinking this morning, okay? We're going to have to get in there and just put our boots on and get in there. He established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my heart, or in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his what? Look, all three of you. Right? Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his what? His trust. Thank you. And respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now, if you'll look at number 5 for me, please, very closely, and then we're going to scoot over to the New Testament, all right? Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful what? Which thou hast done. And thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned. That's a business term, an accounting term. Means to add up and to arrive at a conclusion, arrive at a sum of the numbers, okay? He says, thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You know what Psalm chapter 40 is saying? The Lord's good. He is not only good, he is capable of accomplishing what he desires to do in our hearts and in our lives. Are you glad for that this morning? Amen. Good. Now, let me again encourage you to really arrest your attention this morning, not because of the preacher. That's immaterial, all right? But this is God's Word, and it's just loaded with some promises that we're going to see this morning that have actual and significant relevance to your life, wherever you are, whether you're from Canada or whether you're from Georgia, whether you're from North Carolina, whether you're from the Arctic, wherever you are, if you're in the house of God, in the home of God, children, if you're children of God, in the family of God, then there's relevance. Now, with that in mind, let's go to the New Testament. Will you do that with me, please? To the book of 2 Peter. To the book of 2 Peter and chapter number 1. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. All right. And if you'll notice with me, please, I'm just going to read real quickly the first part of the chapter. Then we're going to get to a passage of Scripture that you've studied, I've studied. Matter of fact, I believe I've probably preached it here. I'm not sure. It was not this message because this is a new message as I believe the Lord would have me to speak this morning. But nonetheless, it's familiar. But let's not allow its familiarity to allow us to just kind of relax and not get out of it what God would have for us today. All right, here we go. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them which have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, and our Savior Jesus Christ. And he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, notice carefully verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now let me ask you just a quick question. Is there anything else that we need in this world? Okay? In other words, he's saying God has already provided everything that we need for life and for eternal life. Okay? That's in godliness. He's provided everything we need. How inclusive is everything? Okay, that's right. It's everything. So when we just stop here and rest for a moment on that, because he's going to get into some detail. And he says, God's already provided everything I need for life and godliness. And just in case we don't get the comprehensiveness of that, let's go ahead and finish it. He's given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So everything we need for God's glory and virtue, which is righteousness. Okay, we'll talk more about that in a moment. He's already provided it. But now he's great and precious promises, and then he tells us why. Home and after church, and Becky's stirring around in the kitchen. Into the ministry. In other words, I can't wait until she says, Randy, it's ready. And chip cookies and maybe homemade peanut butter milkshake and maybe, well, that's a reason and this and that and the other, but it's always, always delicious because notice what he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that we might think about his purity. Think about his righteousness. Think about his immutability. Think about anything that you want to think about God. It says, now that exceeds my ability to truly understand it. That's what that I might be a partaker of his divine nature, but the opposite of that is also true. Lust. There is no worldly lust on this side, right? This is partaker of the divine nature. Just opposites, not that you're opposite from the other, but partakers of the okay. Now, Here's how that side escaping the corruption that's in the world through lust and being a partaker of the divine nature and he says, and beside all this, giving all diligence. Now it comes down to Randy Bray. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. We had the opportunity of saying, may I ask you a question? If you campus, and several of them came to my classroom, and after class they stood around. We if you were to die today, do you know that you'd go to heaven? Now may I impose a implications to it. Do you know the Lord Jesus? I'm not asking. Remember the looking into faces I recognize and those who are regularly with us and some may be visiting. Each here does know the Lord. So he is saying this, that faith cometh that here. He says, and giving all diligence, add to your faith, that saving faith. To please God. Literally translated, there is no ability, none, zippo. Of the genre of faith. When you think about, well, I'm going to please God by not pleasing God, nor am I. I can be doing this, and if I do it as unto I'm doing this according to faith and walking in faith. Now, he is saying this, and he says, add to your faith, and here's the word. We're going to look at this word. Have to go back, really, in the libraries of our knowledge of our walk with the Lord. His blessings are like raindrops on a summer afternoon. They're just all without number. They're innumerable. So with that in mind, let's park that. The Holy Spirit does it for us. As we're walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, we'll there is no law. In other words, the Holy Spirit's not bound. It's just too much. No. When it's the fruit of the Spirit, it's His. Is to say, wait a minute, He says, giving all diligence. He's not talking to the Holy Spirit. It's this. Literally, it means moral uprightness, but I'm going to put a bray. Reason and in the right place. Okay? Have we got it? All right. Doing the right thing. Word right in there, you'll be good. Okay? All right. What is moral uprightness? It's doing the right thing. What does virtue mean? It means doing the right thing at the right time for. Virtue, V-I-R-T-U-E. There's six letters in it, and I know I have. Virtue, V-I-R-T-U-E, and think about how that applies to our lives. When I. For my brother's life, where he is. For my sister's life, for my brother's life. I always pick on him because he's taller than I am. All right. But no. Lord, I don't know who'll be here. We have spring break. I don't know who's going to be here. I'll be here. Fresh bread? Oh, I do. She can make bread. Now, please excuse the expression. Some of your. They are everything that you've ever heard about. Okay? Now they're different now than they used to be. They have. Complete jurisdiction. If they meant, you know, just getting the point across between the. Waiting to go to, not England, Ireland. All right, so let's take the word virtue, V-I-R-T-U-E. The word virtue, or the letter in. Mind, it's the word from which we get the word choreograph. Okay? Choreograph. So that everything is not just kind of jumbled together and everything. No, it's everything is choreographed. That's the foundation. But immediately after that, you add virtue. What is virtue? Along with the word, it has about, I don't know how many letters. It's got quite a few. 1, 3, 6, 9, 10, 11, 12. He said, and beside this, he says, if you do these, you're going to be a partaker of the... hath conceived. That's sin. When we're tempted and we give into it, then it's sin. Yeah. We are to intimately, thoroughly choreograph these things into our lives, intentionally so. And if so, the promises are going to be there. After this text, he tells us two more promises. One is we're going to bear fruit as a child of God. Number two, he says you'll never even begin to fall. Now, I don't know about you. That's a promise. That is a promise. Now, when you and I think about it this morning, he says this, add to your faith virtue. Now, let's go. Here we go, virtue. Virtue, the letter V, I have, the Lord just led my heart to consider the matter of vision. Vision. If you and I are going to do the right thing at the right time, at the right place, for the right reason, we need to have a vision in our lives, and that is projecting God's ability to my setting. If I have a vision, I will have the opportunity and the ability to project God's ability onto my setting. Now, I don't know about you, there's settings that I get into that I can't handle. They're larger than I am. They're more threatening than I am able to withstand. But if I am going to do the right thing at the right place at the right time for the right reason, called virtue, it better start with a vision of who God is. I like the old song, God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything, but help me. Is that what it says? No, she's right. God can do anything, but say it. Fail. It doesn't matter what it is. And if I'm going to be virtuous, I can do that the first day I'm saved. Why, some of you have known people that got saved, and maybe they had some kind of a defiling habit. That doesn't always happen this way. But maybe a man is given to drink or a woman is given to drink, and they get saved. And I've had them tell me, preacher, you won't believe it. God has taken away from me the desire for drink. Now, others live a lifetime like that. But they don't drink. They say, no, wait a minute, God doesn't want me to do that. But for some, God just miraculously, maybe it is a vile tongue, maybe it's one thing or another. But what he's saying here is, God can do anything. And when I think about this matter of virtue, and I'm thinking of this matter of vision, I'm thinking about Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah? He went before the king. He was the king's cupbearer. We don't have time to get into all the illustrations. It's full of illustrations throughout all of this. But you remember, and he says, he appeared before the king and it was a capital offense, an offense worthy of death. If you appeared before the king with a sorrowful kind of countenance about you, but because of what he had seen and what he had heard and everything, or what he had heard, and he went before the king and the king said, Nehemiah, what is wrong with you? He says, and I prayed to the Lord in heaven and said to the king, He had a vision of what God could do in his setting. Well, I think about the three Hebrew children. Fiery furnace, kavoom! But before they went kavoom into the furnace, king said, oh, now you better bow. And they said, king, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in these matters. God is able to provide a way. God is able to deliver us. But if not, we're still going to do what God tells us to do. You see, they had a vision of what God could do in their circumstance. The Word of God is replete with illustration after illustration after illustration of God miraculously doing it. Hebrews 11, the heroes of faith. But you go on past Noah and Abraham and all of them, Rahab and all of them, and you get into the last section. It talks about, and some stopped the mouths of lions, and others, and others, and others, and others. I think about Nehemiah. Had a vision. I think about a little girl. Don't know how old she was, but she was a little captive girl in Syria. And her boss, her captor, if we could put it that way, had leprosy. And here she is musing on herself, and others were in audience as she was saying, oh, if only there was a prophet in Syria like there was in my hometown. She had a vision. God can do something for you. God can do something for you. If you and I are going to do the right thing at the right time in the right place for the right reason, we have to get beyond our personal circumstances. We have to quit looking at the Niagara Falls coming over the precipice and we're about to see it as it's inundating on us and in such a volume that there is no way I'm going to survive financially. There's no way I'm going to survive emotionally. There's no way I'm going to survive. Wait a minute, Bray. Wait a minute. God can do anything, anything, anything but fail. And He can do it from my setting. Why? He loves this lady right here so much that He gave her health back. God loves this guy so much that He so put a mama in his life that loves him and prays for him. He could have been born in a different family. When I was in juvenile work, I was in a lot of houses. Didn't have mamas like that. They had mamas, you blankety blank, get out of my way. No, 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 no. He gave him his kindly, to be a mama. When you and I are in the settings of life in which the devil says, where's God? He's left out on the line to dry. Of course, that kind of sets my age, doesn't it? I saw a clothes hanger for the first time in years yesterday. We were going door to door and saw a house for sale. We went back and looked at it a little bit, and it had an old-time clothes hanger out there. Or what is it? Clothesline. I don't even know how to call it, say it. Clothesline. Where's your God? He's left you on the clothesline. You're just going to flap it in the wind, and you're going to fall off, and you're going to get run over. Some dog's going to chew on you. Virtue starts with a vision, because you're there where you are in your life. In the circumstance, whether it's grandiose and how am I ever going to accomplish this great opportunity, or it's grueling, and you're thinking, there's no way I'm going to make it through this. The hounds of hell are after me. How am I going to make it through this? Vision. Vision is saying God can. Nehemiah said God can. And guess what? God did. God help him to build the walls to Jerusalem and the streets to Jerusalem and all. I think about the little gal that said, hey, wait a minute. I know a prophet, and God works through him, and God can. And what did he do? Ba-dunk, 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 in the Jordan River, and he came up, and his flesh was like a what? Like a child. His leprosy was healed. It's no longer just God can. It's God did. V. And virtue stands for vision. Well, let's move on quickly. The letter I, would you allow me to use that for integrity? Integrity. Integrity is protecting God's will and God's ways in our settings. Integrity is protecting God's will and God's ways in our settings. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you really looked into God's ways? That's not hard to do. Now, we're not talking about going on to heaven and looking across the way and watching God and watching the Lord Jesus Is he seated there as at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for the saints? I'm watching. No, we just can watch his ways in this world and in our lives now. As you and I do that, and you're about to feel the storm, but you've had a vision of what God can do. You haven't gotten to the place yet in that setting where God did. It's still God can do. And you're placing your faith in an omnipotent and an omnipresent and an omniscient God who can. And you say, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do it kicking and screaming. Here are my hands, Lord. You take me and lead me. Okay, Lord, my hands are out for you to lead. Just take me, Lord, and lead me. And when you do, you say, all right, now I'm in the throes of this. And here I've got this, like when I used to do some flying, there's crosswinds that come in, and you're trying to come into the runway. And if it's a 25-mile-an-hour crosswind, you have to pigeon-toe the airplane kind of halfway into the wind. And as you're coming through, if you're in landing gear, you have three wheels, you come in and you aim that upwind, like the wind's coming this way, you aim the airplane like that, and allow this wheel to hit first, and then let the wind is going to knock down the other one as you're going in, okay? And we're in the crosswinds. And we know that I'm wanting to quit. I'm wanting to give up. I'm wanting to get mad. I'm wanting to be jealous. I'm wanting to be looking at something I shouldn't. And the crosswinds are there. Doing the right thing at the right time, at the right place, for the right reason, virtue. Also involves integrity. Protecting God's ways and God's will in our lives by saying, what do I already know is God's will for my life? And what do I already know from the Scriptures that this is the way God does His business? He doesn't vacillate between righteousness and unrighteousness. He doesn't just say, I'll do whatever feels good. He always acts according to righteousness and holiness and purity. So, dear Lord, the situation now is kind of upside down, and I don't know exactly what to do in this, but one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to aim my craft, the craft of my will and my ways, I'm going to do so in the direction of holiness and righteousness and purity in this setting, so that when I do come in for a landing and the setting is clear, I'll be able to look back and say, oh, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, we could talk about Daniel. He purposed in his heart that he would not what? Defile himself with what? The king's meat. Integrity. Somewhere along the way, as a little fella, mama said, Daniel, no, you're not supposed to do that. You know that's not what God wants you to do. Or as daddy said, Daniel, you better, that attitude, son, you better get it right. Now he finds himself in Babylon. Because he's a sharp young man, he was elevated to a place where he was separated, and we're going to feed you the best, give you the best schooling, son, and do everything for you. And he said, well, wait a minute. There's a way God wants me to live my life. And here I am. I can't control the setting. I'm a captive here. I can't control that. But one thing with God's help I can do is I can move my life in the direction, in my setting, towards holiness and righteousness and according to what I know of God's will. Integrity. Oh, boy. Preacher won't mind if we go over about an hour, will he? I think maybe he would. All right, integrity. All right. I'll try to have integrity in stopping on time. That may not happen. All right, let's try it. Then we come to the letter R. No, we will stop on time. Vision, that's protecting God's ability. Integrity, that's protecting God's will and God's ways. And I wish I could take some time to talk from 2 Samuel about Mephibosheth. You remember Mephibosheth? That was Jonathan's son that was crippled. And here you had Absalom, who the Bible says he stole the hearts of the people. And so David had to flee from Jerusalem. And here's Mephibosheth. He tried to get his servant to get his horse or his donkey, whatever it was, dromedary, whatever it was. He tried to get it ready to so he could go with David. But his servant lied about it. He didn't provide it, and so Mephibosheth stays there in Jerusalem. And the servant lied to David when David came back and was able to be here. And he said, Mephibosheth, why didn't you come with me? Why'd you stay? And if you read the history of it in the context, the whole time David was out in the woods and in the cave, Mephibosheth did not bathe, did not cut his hair, whatever, all was involved. that he could do where he was, but he knew his king couldn't do where he was. It's called integrity. He had a vision of what God can do. He had integrity. That's God can. But what happened? Oh, we already talked about Daniel, the lions. Boy, they got lockjaw, didn't they? That's what God did. He went down there and said, lay down there, fella. That looks nice and comfy. I'm going to lean my head on it, on your stomach. Well, what about Mephibosheth? The Bible says, David said, you're going to eat at my table for the rest of your life. God did. Now we come to the letter R. So we're moving along. Vision, integrity, that's protecting God's will. Vision is projecting God's ability. Integrity, protecting God's will. R is rejoicing. This is praising God's plan. Praising God's plan. Now, sometimes that's easier than others. It really is. Sometimes you're going to be there and you're just going to go, praise the Lord. This is phenomenal. And other times you're going to have to do it with what the book of Philippians has written for us. Rejoice in the Lord. What's the next word? Okay, let's do that. Let's give it a little more zip there, all right? Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, okay? And he's not talking about just the good times. Okay? That's why he says, with your prayers and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oftentimes there's tears in our hearts that sometimes makes evident in our eyes that we have tears there as well. And it's in those times when the accuser comes along and he says, where's God? Maybe he doesn't know what you're going through. Turn the volume up a little bit. Maybe he doesn't care. Or maybe he does, and you're not accepted. The accuser is very successful at dominating our thoughts with those accusations against God, even as he is adept at making accusations about us to God, like he did about Job. But when you and I say, wait a minute, if I'm going to do the right thing at the right time for the right reason in the right place, I better become skilled at rejoicing in the Lord. What's the word? Always. How can I do that? He doesn't say rejoice in the crisis. He doesn't say rejoice when the doctor says. He doesn't say rejoice when the accountant says. He doesn't say rejoice when your body says. He doesn't say rejoice. He says, listen, he says rejoice in whom? That's right. I can rejoice in the worst crisis that can ever find itself to the threshold of my attention. Because it's not about the crisis. It's about him. I can intentionally and justifiably rejoice in the Lord, though the whole world has fallen apart. Because he's the sovereign of the whole world. And I can legitimately, justifiably come before him with empty hands and say, Lord, I'm scared. Lord, I'm troubled. Lord, I'm burdened. Lord, I've got sores from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, as Job would say. And yet, Lord, I know that it's all within your sovereign jurisdiction. So if you have not prevented it, Lord, you may not have provided it, but because you did not prevent it, then that means that your grace can be sufficient for me to go through it, no matter what it is. Satan may have been the provider of it, but you're the one who provides. My grace is sufficient for all these things. Amen or no? Amen. And I don't know. I don't know what your setting is. Hey, it's good to have you home from Crown College. I don't know what your setting is. I don't know what her setting is. I don't even know in totality my setting. Because some of it hadn't arrived quite yet. But I do know this. God's will for me, if I'm going to live according to virtue, doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason in the right place, I better become skilled at harnessing my emotions and bringing my heart that's yearning for God's will to be accomplished to him. I mentioned earlier today, though, that I lived in Texas as a youth pastor. Not far from where I lived, there's all kinds of horse ranches there around where I live. Just about, 2 or 3 miles from where I live, just straight down the road and then off the road a little bit, was a ranch that had over 1,000 Arabian horses. It was phenomenal. And they would let you go in. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I mean, just gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. And so we would watch. They would have the yearlings together. They're like a bunch of kids. They would kick each other and run and chase each other. One of them have his nose down in the food trough. The other would come flying up, bam, knock him out of there. They'd go chasing each other, bite each other on the backside, just having a lot of fun. Sometimes we would go to the lanes, and they would have a lane probably as wide as from that wall to this to here. And you've probably seen it around here. In different areas, there's a lot of horses. And they would have a lane, maybe not even this wide, maybe about half that wide. And it would just seem to go on forever, forever. And the reasons, Arabians, like a lot of horses, but Arabians on steroids, Arabians love to what? Run. Have you ever watched Arabians run? I mean, that old black mane of theirs, it's flapping in the wind. Their tail comes up at about it's just vertical, up about this far, and then the rest of the tail looks like it got caught in a door or something. The rest of the tail goes like that, straight out. I mean, their mane's going this way, the backside of their tail's going this way. I mean, they are flying. And if you know how to ride an Arabian, it is wonderful. If you get on the back of an Arabian and you don't know how to ride, like I don't know how to ride, you're in for an air ride. Because that horse is going to go zoom like that. And then all of a sudden, and you're riding on there, and you don't have a bridle, and you're just holding on to the mane, and you're just having fun. And the horse is about to have fun. As he takes a 90-degree turn, zoom, like that, like they can do. And you are on your way to Mars or someplace in outer space, all right? If you and I are going to do the right thing at the right time for the right reason in the right place, we better know what virtue means. And that means rejoice. Because if we don't rejoice intentionally in the sovereignty and love of God, when life is upside down and it hurts, the wounds are open, the salt's poured in, and we allow our emotions to dictate what we do, then we will find ourselves riding with no bridle on our emotions. And we will have found ourselves, as John Bunyan would say, in the depths of the Slough of Despond, rather than living and virtuously in the will of God. I always forget this is not a classroom. I was waiting for 10 till, but we dismiss it at quarter till, don't we? Or do we? We don't? We do. We do. I think we do. All right. I don't hear anyone or see anyone. Can I go one more minute? One more minute. All right, let me give you the rest of it very quickly. It only took 30 minutes to give the first three. All right. So vision, integrity, rejoicing. T is trust. Trust, that's placing yourself in God's hands. This is difficult when it's unexplained or unknown. And we talk about Jonathan as armor bearer fighting the Philistines. They didn't know, but they trusted. U is unwavering. This is positioning God's priorities as mine. Unwavering. Positioning God's priorities as mine. And then the final is engaged. This is pursuing God's callings with a passion. None of us here have any problem, most likely, of saying that God can. But I'm here to tell you, there's a chorus of individuals. Let me just list them for you who can say God did. We've already mentioned a few. I didn't have time to get into the rest of them. Nehemiah would say, God can and God did. Nahum, God can and God did. Daniel, God can and God did. Joseph, God can and God did. Mephibosheth, God can and God did. Mary, the mother of Christ, God did and God, or God can and God did. Jonathan, we already mentioned that. Rahab, God can and God did. King David, God can and God did. The children of Israel, God can and God did. Joshua and Caleb, God can and God did. Noah, God can and God did. And there's the rest of the Word of God that says God can and God did. And that's what He's wanting to do in your life and mine. He says, add to your faith virtue. Intimately, thoroughly, take where you are in your faith. And determine, I'm going to do the right thing at the right time for the right reason in the right place and continue to build, because it says add to your faith virtue. And then to virtue, knowledge. This, and I'm finished. The whole thrust of this message is not virtue. It's knowledge. And it's that knowledge that's experiential. Because when you've done the right thing, if everybody listen, I'm finished. When you do the right thing at the right time in the right place for the right reason, you then have those books of knowledge that God can and God did. And for the rest of your life, every new adventure of faith that's going to take place tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, the Holy Spirit can remind you God can. And remember, God did. And you'll have that knowledge to add to your faith and virtue. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity of looking into thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.